Very similar to the city of Brighton. If you don't have a Bible, just raise your hand and people are going to bring one to you. And we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 5 or 6 to 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16. We're really going to just focus on a verse in the middle of this wonderful passage. And let me read this for us. How to be wise. Paul writes, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the message, the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God." And this is the verse I particularly want us to focus on. "We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught us by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. So help us, Lord, and I pray even right now for you to give us wisdom. Lord, we seek you and ask for your Spirit to be at work here amongst us. In Jesus' name, amen." There's a proverb which says this, that a wise son brings joy to his father and a foolish son grief to his mother. So although my son, Jonah, is only one, I find myself, when I'm trying to put him to bed, praying, "God, please, may he be wise." Not just because I want joy, but I don't want grief for either Laura or myself. But, you know, I'm praying for wisdom for him, even when he's only 1 year old. And I find I'm often praying for wisdom for myself. And I pray for wisdom for us as a church and for you folks here as a congregation. I long that God would give us wisdom. So this morning I want us to think, how can we be wise? How can we be wise? You know, there were a lot of people in Corinth who were looking for wisdom. And we have a lot of people in our city, as we were just hearing at the beginning of series, in Brighton and Hove, there are about 35,000 students who are all kind of at this time of year coming into the city looking for maybe some wisdom, maybe to look for a good time as well. But, you know, there are people who are searching. And one of the things I love about this city is it's full of people who are actually interested in spiritual things, interested in wanting to find out more about reality. And what's really there. I remember when I was a student coming up to university to study engineering some time back now, and I remember that kind of feeling of like you finished school, and I'd taken a gap year, so I felt like I'd just discovered a whole lot. So in one sense, I felt like I kind of knew something, but in another sense, you know, when I got to university, I realized just how much more I still needed to understand. I felt like that kind of strange feeling of being kind of mature but also immature all at the same time. And actually Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6, he picks up on this idea of maturity. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 6, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature." And this theme of maturity is one he's going to pick up on again next week at the beginning of chapter 3 in some of his other letters. You see, in Corinth, what happened was that people were kind of coming in and saying, well, you know, you're mature if you've kind of know this, or if you've had this or this experience. And, you know, we can sometimes think of maturity like that. I imagine there there are some conversations even happening in campus this week where it's like someone goes to a new fresher. What, you've never heard of this or that, or you've never had that experience, or you've never tried that? Oh, you're so immature. And in Corinth, that kind of language and thinking had actually crept into the church. So, you know, there were teachers going around saying, unless you knew this special bit of knowledge, or unless you had had this special experience, you're so immature. And actually, that can creep even into the church today. We kind of have this view of what it is to be spiritual. And so Paul is writing this book in 1 Corinthians to them then and to us now so that we would know what it is to be spiritual. And to Paul, this kind of idea of having arrived, the maturity which is kind of pinned on, well, I had this experience or I've got that knowledge. Paul would say, no. Let me help you see what it is to be mature. Let me point you to what is really wisdom. And so this passage, he points us to the wisdom that's from God. Remember last week we were seeing that the wisdom from God is different from the wisdom from the world. The wisdom of the world is man-centered. It's all about what man has or man does or man has achieved. Where the wisdom from God is all God-centered. It's what God has done, what God has achieved. And obviously, it comes, as we were hearing last week, into its clearest focus at the cross of Christ that we've so wonderfully spent time on in this service, meditating and thinking about. The wisdom of God, you see, seems foolish, but is actually incredibly wise. As we were hearing last week, it seems weak, but it's actually so, so powerful. So how to be wise? Well, we're wise as we understand that real wisdom is understanding God's wisdom. Real wisdom is understanding God's wisdom. And God's wisdom doesn't come, verse 6 and 7 and 8, through the wisdom of this age. Do you see that verse 6? But we speak a wisdom, a message of wisdom among the mature, but it's not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Now, man's wisdom can be wonderful in many ways. I have to say, when I was studying engineering, even at that point, now almost over a decade ago, you know, there was so much that I thought, wow, that's amazing. You know, man through his wisdom has split the atom. We've put a man on the moon. You know, even since the time I was at uni, we've kind of created Spotify. I think Spotify is the most amazing thing. You can listen to music anywhere, or anytime, any place, any kind of music. Amazing stuff. All these kind of food discoveries, this is maybe a bit more, you might not agree with me on this, but I think Marmite is just a wonderful invention. And, but all kinds of things that man has done. But, you know, the wisdom of man, the wisdom of this age, will never really help us know what God is thinking. Will never really help us know how we can know God or how we can be right with God unless God was wanting to reveal that to us. The wisdom, you see, of this age is so limited. It's limited. It's got some wonderful things about it, but it's limited. And actually, one of its biggest limitations comes when we think it's through that that we can really be wise. When we become preoccupied with this age and ruling things or how people think of us in this age, because so often the wisdom of this age is connected with the rulers of this age, and we read in verse 6, the rulers of this age are coming to nothing. And so then Paul goes on and says, if you want to be wise, then you need to discover that it's God's secret wisdom that is revealed to us. And there's this sense in verse 9 that there's been something that people have been anticipating. It's one of these, bits in the Bible that if you look at the footnote, you can see it's a quote from Isaiah 64, verse 4. And in Isaiah 64, there's this amazing passage anticipating when God comes. And you know, of course, in the Old Testament, there's a lot about the things that people, no eye has seen what God is really like. You know, people haven't really seen him. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And then here's the knockout verse, verse 10. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. This thing that was secret and hidden, this what God is really like, what his thoughts are, what he's going to reveal about himself and how he's going to save us and what he really thinks of us, that was anticipated, anticipated, anticipated. And then Jesus came. And then Jesus lived and died on a cross. This mystery, if you like, when the Bible uses the word mystery, often referring to the cross, it talks about something that's been hidden that you can see there in the scriptures. Like Debbie was saying in Psalm 22, you can kind of see it, but they didn't fully get it until the time of Christ. And now the Spirit has revealed it. So how to be wise? Not through this wisdom of this age, but through the Spirit of God. You see, the only way to really know God is through what God reveals about himself. And so Paul kind of goes on and he sort of helps us see and unpack how it is to be wise through the Spirit of the age. How is the Spirit of God going to help us to be wise? Well, look at verse 10. The second half, it says this: the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. I love that little phrase. And then it uses a little illustration in verse 11. So, you know, the God's Spirit can help us because God's Spirit knows what God is thinking about. God, the all-wise and all-knowing. And so God, by his Spirit, knows the thoughts of God. And so he can reveal them to us. So let's just pause for a moment. I'm thinking about something. What am I thinking about? It might have been. It was a while back. But actually, I was thinking about a friend of mine who's a pastor, another part of Sussex, and we grew up together in Kenya, and I've just been thinking about him a bit this past week, and I was thinking about him, but you wouldn't know that unless I told you. In fact, my Spirit knew that, what I was thinking about, because my Spirit is part of me, and that's the same analogy that Paul uses in verse 7. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the man's Spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. See, God's Spirit knows what God is thinking about. And when your people are looking and searching, thinking, I wonder what God's thinking of, what God's thoughts are, how to be really wise. Well, the Spirit of God knows that. And here then is this amazing fact in verse 12, that we... This is Paul writing to the believers in Corinth. We who believe and put our trust in Jesus Christ have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. That is an amazing truth. We are not to be those who just absorb the Spirit of the world or the wisdom of the world. We are to be those who are able to receive something far, far better. We have the gift of God's Spirit to us. God longs to give us his Spirit as a gift. One of the things about God is he isn't playing hide and seek. He wants to be known. He wants us to know more about him. He loves to give his Spirit to those who will seek him and turn to him. And so Jesus writes in Luke 11, Luke writes about Jesus saying that Jesus said that the Father loves to give the Spirit to those who will ask him. I wonder, have you asked God for his Spirit to help you be wise? In Acts chapter 2, Peter's doing this amazing message at Pentecost, and as he says it, the guys come to him at the end and say, well, what must we do to be saved? And he says, repent and believe and you will receive the Holy Spirit. As we turn to God, as we humble ourselves, recognizing that we need him, and we put our trust in Christ, then God loves to give us his Spirit. And his Spirit is the thing that not only comes as a gift to us, but his Spirit does this. Look at the second part of verse 12 with me. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand what God has freely given us. God's Spirit enables us not just to do things for God, and it's wonderful that God's Spirit does do that, but so often we get preoccupied with that. Oh, have you had this sense of this gift from the Spirit or that gift from the Spirit? Wonderful as the gifts of the Spirit are, but I find that the most wonderful thing that the Spirit does in the people I connect with and talk to and even in my own life is that the Spirit helps me understand, gives me wisdom. The Spirit enables us to understand. We need to grab a hold of this verse because there's something wonderful when we understand the thoughts of God. See, here's the thing. You know, when I was thinking about my friend Tappany, not Marmite, I was thinking about someone. And in the same way, when we come to discover more about what God is thinking about, we discover this amazing fact. He is thinking about you and I. He is loving us. And he is wanting us to know him. He's thinking about his children. He's thinking particularly about his son, Jesus Christ, and how we can know his son and how his son can be more formed within us. When we come to know what God is like, we start seeing things from God's perspective. We start realizing how much he has a heart for us. Things become bigger that maybe once we thought, oh, Jesus, he's just a bit like Robin Hood. And suddenly, we start realizing, as you so wonderfully put, Debbie, that Jesus is so much more amazing than Robin Hood. So much more amazing than King Arthur or any figure in history. In fact, Jesus, I have this quote here from one of Paul's letters later on in Colossians chapter 2. Talking about Jesus, it says, in whom are hidden, can you read the rest of it with me? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow. There is no one in this city who hasn't had that revealed to them by the Spirit of God who will recognize that. That actually Jesus is so amazing that in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Because in Jesus, what was unknown, what no eye had seen, no ear had heard, no mind conceived, in Jesus they've been made known. In Jesus, we see how much God loves us, that he would want us to be his children so that we're able to cry out, Abba, Father. Again, a big theme of Paul's writing, that we're enabled by the Spirit to know that we can become God's children. And so I would say, and my testimony would be that when I've sought more of God's Spirit, when I've experienced something of a fresh filling of the Spirit in my life, or like a baptism of the Spirit of God in my life, at times when I've talked to others who've, even this week, talking to someone in the church, and they were describing a moment like that when they were wrestling with God and saying, God, I want more of your Spirit. And the Spirit came upon them. And what did they describe? Yes, gifts. Yes, things that God was blessing them with. But they described an amazing understanding of the love that God had for them. An amazing understanding of Christ and what he's done, that they were just, and as I was talking, I was so excited because I could see their joy and excitement. It was kind of off the charts. And I was remembering, yeah, God, I don't want that just to be in a time back then. I want afresh, even again this week, to know you more. Even before the service, we're just there together as leaders anticipating, saying, God, we want to know you better. Praying that prayer that Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, where he writes this. He says, you know, this is my prayer. I keep asking God to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And you know, you might be here and you don't know really much about God. You're a bit like Debbie was a few months back. You're here because you're searching. There's something about it. Maybe someone's invited you. But, you know, God's Spirit works not just in those who believe, but we read from Jesus' writing that God's Spirit works even in those who don't believe. And one of the amazing things that the Spirit does is recognize and help us see our need for God, to understand that we need him. And maybe you're here because God's Spirit's already at work in your life. And I'd encourage you, if there's a sense of that and you've got things you're wrestling through and you questions you've got, I'd echo the words of Tim and Johnny and Debbie. Give it a go. Be a gorilla. Give Alpha a go. Dig into the scriptures. But you know, my heart and prayer is not that for the rest of us to go, well, I've got it. I kind of have already seen that Jesus is the Christ and he died for me. I've got that. So now I've kind of arrived. Now I'm mature and maybe I've had an experience of this or that. And David, I kind of know what you're saying. Hey guys,
No, what we need is we need a fresh filling of the Spirit again today. Because I can assure you this. This cross, this Jesus is bigger than you think he is. This work that was done, the love he has for you, the power that he wants to work in your lives, it is more than you can imagine. There's this little phrase at the end of verse 12 I just want to end on, which says this, that we might understand what God has freely given us. One of the things I discover in my Christian life and in my pastoring is so often we start by getting that it's grace, and we kind of then go on and think, well, now we've got to work for it. Rather than realizing that Jesus has paid for it all. He's done it. It's not a man-centered wisdom and work and religion we've got. It's a God-centered one where he's done it. He's done amazing things for us. He's paid the cost with his life that you and I would have gifts, amazing things freely given to us. What are those things that he's freely given us? He's given us peace. Do you know a peace this morning? Because it's freely given through Christ. The only reason you wouldn't be having it is because you're not realizing by the Spirit. And as you turn and believe again him, that gift of peace is there. Do you know joy this morning? Joy is an amazing thing that is freely given us through the cross. Forgiveness. And the power to forgive. Eternal life. And the assurance of salvation to know that it's ours. Power to live real life, gritty life in Corinth or Brighton. Wisdom to live. And that wisdom to know that that is a work of the Spirit where we need his help continually and we can't do it on ourselves. And we're drawing and receiving from God. Power to love. I love this little phrase right at the end here, but we have the mind of Christ. Something you see that's kind of corporate in that, isn't there? It's as we work out this love and unity that we're hearing of a few weeks ago, that we discover that as we seek God together, and as we keep seeking to know God, that even though God, it says here, who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, none of us instruct God, but Jesus, you see, always did what the Father wanted him to do. And those with the mind of Christ always do what the Father wants us to do. We don't instruct him. I know that so often in I'm praying for wisdom, what I'm really praying for is, God, would you really do what I want to do? Rather than saying, actually, my wisdom needs to be coming in this place again and saying, God, you know what? You're God. What do you want me to do? Will you instruct me today? Because you're doing something amazing in my workplace, in this city, in the church, the nations. You're the Messiah. You're Jesus Christ. You're the one who's done it all. So here am I, God. Would you give me your mind today, your wisdom? Give us as God's people. And I know that what I need most is to have that Spirit that again humbles myself, doesn't think I've arrived, but says, God, I need you. And suddenly clarity comes, wisdom comes in those moments. So I wonder if we can just pause. You don't have to kneel, but you're welcome to. As many over the years have knelt in the pews that you've been sitting in right now. But Lord, let's just come in this surrendered place. The wisdom of the world often focuses on knowledge. Knowledge puffs up. Inflates us. But Lord, we're coming here realizing this morning that only through your Spirit, through your gift, through your enabling, can we really know you, the one true wise God. So Lord, we just invite your Spirit to come amongst us, Lord. Fall afresh on us, Lord. I just want to invite the Spirit to help you know more of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and has risen again. I come back to that scripture, Ephesians 1:17. I'm just going to pray it over us. This is a prayer that Paul himself uses, and he says this. I ask that you, God, glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, would give myself and each one of us here the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better. Lord, we believe there's more of you to know, more that you want to reveal to us. I pray particularly for any today who need to repent and believe. Maybe particularly for the first time, they've never done anything like that in their sort of lives and their heart. They've never turned from the wisdom of this age and trusting in themselves and turned to you and said yes to you. And maybe today you just want to do what Debbie described doing that day when she went home, and she kind of said everything kind of changed. And you know, this is a moment where by God's Spirit you can just say, yes, Jesus, I turn to you, I receive you. I even just want to use those words, Jesus, I turn to you, I receive you. Please come into my life by your Holy Spirit. Just with every head bowed, is there anyone here this morning who just was praying that there? If you are, just raise your hand. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. Just looking downstairs, looking upstairs. Thank you for that one upstairs as well. Thank you. That one upstairs. Anyone else just who hasn't caught my eye? And I pray for these three folks, Lord Jesus, that you would just be specially real to them now by your Spirit. But Lord, we long for more of your Spirit for all of us, Lord. We just pray, God, come move upon us. We can't know you more without your help. Song that says, knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. The chorus and the verse goes like this. All I once held dear, build my life upon. All this world reveres and woes to all I once thought gain, I have counted lost, spent and worthless now, compared to this. Shall we stand together? Knowing you, Jesus, knowing you, there is no greater thing. You're my all, you're the best, you're my joy, my righteousness. And I love you, Lord. Jesus, it's because we love you that we want to know you more. And Lord, we know that knowing you is the best. And so we seek you and eagerly desire more of you in our lives. Lord, come by your Spirit. Father, I pray you put in every single person here, Lord, whether they call themselves a Christian or not, whether they've been a Christian for many years or just for a few months, Jesus, I pray you put in them a longing for more of your Spirit, that they might know more of your wisdom, that they might know more of your power at work in their lives. Jesus, I pray for that for myself. And so just want to end sort of this part of our service as we just prepare to sing a final song by saying, guys, we're a family together. And one of the things I so appreciate, even this week again, is people who freshly prayed on me for more of God's Spirit. And one of the things we can do is do that for one another. Something we can always do on our own. We can seek God for it. I encourage you to do that. But there seems to be something in the Bible that, especially there as we lay hands on one another, doesn't have to be that way, and we ask God, would you fill us afresh with your Spirit? I don't know what you need wisdom for at the moment. Work situation, family situation, financial situation. But you might not have realized it till today, but I hope you realize now that what you really need is not just some kind of wisdom for that situation. What you really need is more of God's Spirit so that you might know God better. And that will help you. So if there's anything specific in that, or you just come and you just want to be prayed for to receive more of God's Spirit, then there's going to be a prayer team here afterwards. People with the yellow badges, a bunch of us as elders are going to be around, and we'd love to just pray for you if there is something specific. But please do go seeking more of God, more of his wisdom, which comes as we ask him, because it's a gift. Can't earn it. It's a gift. So let's praise him together. Thanks, Katie.